You're listening to the Board Game Snobs podcast, a ridiculous podcast with ridiculous hosts that discuss ridiculous things. And any mention of board games is purely coincidental. And so, without further ado, and with a heavy dollop of shame and embarrassment on my part, I give you the Board Game Snobs.
And go.
It's testing my microphone.
Oh, and caught me off guard. And go.
You caught me off. No, we already started. Can't go back. This is Jerry, Board Game Snobs Podcast.
This is Gabby, also with the Board Game Snobs Podcast.
Now we're whispering now. Anyways, I'm adjusting my mic. All right. How nice of this. Sorry. In a while, I'm apologizing, but I just broke my microphone stand.
You broke it?
No, I was trying to fix your microphone stand. Sorry. Trying to make sure that the audio is on fleek. Is that a certain term?
No, not anymore. Please stop using it.
Why not? Who decided fleek? We can't use on fleek?
The kids.
Oh.
If you want to be...
children decide? This isn't Neverland. We don't let children decide what we do.
If you want to be hip and cool, we got to aim for that target demo audience of 18 to 24-year-olds.
No, this is Board Game Snobs Podcast. We got a bunch of old white guys.
That's true.
40 and above.
We need to start talking about hemorrhoids and our blood pressure medicine.
What color are your New Balance?
White, so obviously.
Are they white with slightly stained green on it from all the grass you've been cutting?
And the golf course? Yes.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
But I do wear them with my track suit because those are still hip and cool.
Nobody wears a tracksuit anymore. I've never seen anybody wear a tracksuit.
Well, that's embarrassing for me then.
You don't wear a tracksuit. I've never seen you. You're making that up.
The veil is coming off.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm telling right now. I've never seen you own a tracksuit. Period.
My Adidas tracksuit.
No, you're talking about, what's that? Lululemon.
Oh, yes.
Get me one of those Lululemon tracksuits.
I think you would look smashing in it.
You had a topic you wanted to discuss.
Oh, wow. But first.
Unless you have banter.
Did you know an episode of Peppa Pig was once banned in Australia? Do you know why?
You're going to cut out that.
You do that a lot. I usually always have to cut them out.
Because of her racism.
Because it taught the audience not to be afraid of spiders, a potentially dangerous message in a country known for its deadly spiders. But to be fair, everything is deadly in Australia.
Not everything.
Everything.
They give you chlamydia.
Exactly. Can't chlamydia kill?
No.
It doesn't.
Your nightlife. It can kill your nightlife, but it can't kill you, I don't think.
The romance.
I guess it could eventually.
I don't know. I'm not familiar with the pros and cons of chlamydia.
Name a pro. Sure you're not.
One pro.
Go ahead. You're not part of the clan. The chlamydia clan. Oh, there's tons of things that don't kill you in Australia.
Name one.
Well, that.
What? Chlamydia? Now I got to look it up. Can chlamydia kill you?
Well, any infection can kill you. That's a stupid thing to be looking at.
Okay, well, then chlamydia can kill, so that's strike one for you.
No, that's not how that works. You cannot be like, oh, just because it can kill you. No, it has to be a high likelihood of something that kills you.
Well, the spiders are a high likelihood in Australia.
Are they?
That's not
a
spider. This is a spider. Out comes the big banana one.
Top 10 things that won't kill you in Australia. Kangaroos.
Oxygen.
Kangaroos apparently don't kill you. Cockatoo. A Port Jackson shark.
Excuse me?
A Port Jackson shark. They're just a shark that apparently doesn't bite you. A sugar glider.
They stay hooked up to the dock.
I'm sorry, Miss Jackson.
Sugar gliders. Oh, those are little adorable squirrels.
Koalas sleep for 20 hours a day.
But I heard they can be mean.
No. A tree kangaroo. I didn't know that was such a thing. It's a kangaroo that lives in trees.
I could have put that together.
Well, you don't know what they look like, do you? Oh, I do. Cow. They're weird looking.
Do they look like kangaroos hanging in trees?
No, they don't. They look like those red foxes, not the guy off Sanford and Son, but they just look like a, yeah, they're weird looking. I've never heard of these things.
Instead of coming from eggs, they come from roots, trees, and roos mixed together make roots.
It's not funny if you have to explain it.
That's a pun That's based upon rue and the word root.
Roots.
Roots. Mm. Okay, something I thought of the other day, since this deadly spider thing is not going anywhere.
Yes, I don't know what you're doing. You're killing this. You railroaded us into this.
Sorry. I just realized. You ever seen that movie Powder from the 90s?
Yeah.
The original Harkonnen.
Yeah.
Straight up white.
Yeah.
Except his teeth were not black.
Okay, so, yeah. So, are you going somewhere with this?
I don't know. I thought it was a humorous observation.
Okay, maybe. Well, first off, I'm not going to make any humorous observations because this dude was an albino and it was trying to spread, you know, awareness of people who are albino. But in Powder, if I remember, this guy could like control electricity or something.
Yeah, come on. He was more than just albino, right?
Well, his mom got struck by lightning.
Okay, so he was basically Thor, son of Zeus, son of lightning.
Yeah.
Except so, I think he died in the end, right? I don't know. That was one of those emo movies that like literally.
No, he just disappeared. He just disappeared.
Just faded into the force, ghosted out of there.
Yeah, he got shot by lightning and disappeared.
No Harkonnen would force ghost because they're too evil. So he was not a Harkonnen after all.
How many albino people are there? I don't care how many. I don't care how many people are playing Albion online. I want to know about the albino. Thank you, Google. Albinism can affect people of all races, about one in every 20,000, according to in the U.S. In other parts, it can be one in 3,000. So there you go. There you go.
Are they a race? What race are the Harkonnens? Because Harkonnen is just the family name. They're not a race of people.
That's the House Harkonnen.
House Harkonnen. So what is the race of people that is just all white? With black teeth.
I think they're not a race. I think those are all just people, and they happen to be on a planet that has a black sun.
The sun is black? I miss that. That is weird.
Yeah.
How does a black sun work? Come on. Oh, yeah. I do remember making a black hole sun remark.
Yeah, you did. You made a remark. You're forgetting your own jokes. But yeah, same thing as a white sun.
Huh. Well, what is that? A white sun means it's hotter than a yellow sun, so we would even be further away than we are right now.
Our sun is white, FYI.
I thought it was yellow, says Superman.
No, it's not yellow. It's white.
I beg to differ. Have you looked at it?
No, it's white.
That is a yellow sun.
It's not yellow. It looks yellow, but it is not yellow. It is white. Siri,
what color is our sun? It is a common misconception that the sun is yellow or orange or even red. However, the sun is essentially all colors mixed together, which appears to our eyes as white. Well, look at you, Jerry, dropping solar knowledge.
That's like grade school stuff, Gabby. I really think you need to. I'm pretty sure we've had this discussion.
I think you're the sole person that knows this.
No, not
solar humor. Well, then, all I can say is all those Superman comics I read were quite misleading.
I don't know what the Superman thing was about.
He gets his power from the yellow sun, the radiation of the yellow sun. And they must have said that a million times. They never said the white sun because Krypton had a red sun.
It might be classified as a yellow sun. Like this, not referring to the color.
I need to clear my history because I have Can Chlamydia Kill You? In case my wife finds out.
Please do that now.
We need to have a discussion. No, Gina, I just was curious for no reason.
Our son is actually a yellow dwarf.
Now, you're not supposed to say that anymore.
Yes, you can. In astronomy, you can. Astrology, you can. What's your sign? Yes, it's a yellow dwarf. Star.
Huh. That means it's small.
Well, I mean, relatively.
Relatively small compared to the larger suns that exist out there that are non-yellow. Which is confusing because there's a red dwarf, right? Or is that just right. a TV show?
What now? What'd you say?
There's a show or there's a sun or there's an actual astronomical event that's the red sun. No, sorry, the red dwarf. Maybe I'm just mm-hmm. thinking of the British sci-fi show. Red dwarf. Apparently that is only Wikipedia. Okay, never mind. Ignore everything I just said because that's a British sci-fi show. Only there is no red dwarf because as I scan and scan, red dwarf star. No, wait. Red dwarf stars have masses. Okay, so they are types of stars. A red dwarf.
Mm-hmm. There's like three different types of star suns, I think. There's red, yellow, and something else.
White, apparently, according to you.
Well, no, white. No, I didn't say that our sun was a white one.
I thought that's literally what we just discussed.
Okay. Our sun, mm-hmm. as I have stated earlier, is a yellow dwarf star.
Okay.
But its color is white.
I'm so confused.
No.
So confused.
You're not. It's just not. It's, yeah. There it is. It's a yellow. It's classified as yellow dwarf star.
Classified by the scientists that also called Pluto a planet for decades and decades. So what do they know? Did you know?
Well, wait a minute. They do know. Wait a minute. What are you saying?
What? They called it a planet for years and they were like, oh, our bad. It's just a ball of ice.
No, it's not.
Have they double reversed that now?
Yes.
Now it's back. I'm back, baby.
It's a dwarf planet.
Oh, my God. Make up your mind, scientists. Eggs are bad for you. Eggs are good for you. Pluto's a planet. No, it's not a planet. No, yeah, we're just kidding. It is a planet. Like, how are we supposed to believe anything scientists say?
Okay, well, it's because you're assuming that they're using a metric of this is what. Okay, what is a planet?
Good
question.
Who
decides what a planet is?
Scientists.
Okay, so thus, when there is an actual definition of what a planet is, you apply that definition to everything and see if it is a planet, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So if Pluto doesn't meet that, then that's how it becomes not a planet because everybody decided this is what a planet actually is. And we discovered that Pluto doesn't do that thing. It doesn't clear its orbit of debris. I think there's like three things you have to be considered a planet. And when it doesn't, then it's no longer a planet, so it has to be reclassified as something else. So, there you go.
Interesting.
I know you don't find that interesting. You say interesting when you're not interested in it.
No, I was invested. I just wish you knew what the other things were that made things classified as planets.
The thing, there's like three things. It's you have to be able to clear its orbit. Shoot, it's easy to look up, but there's like three things that make it a planet, if I'm not mistaken, that Pluto didn't have. Why is Pluto? Here you go. I'll Google it for you.
That it didn't have, but now it does because it is, again, a planet.
It is a dwarf planet.
Dwarf planet. Small planet.
Voted in, the astronomers voted to create three new categories for objects in the solar system. Let's see. Round objects that share the neighborhood of their orbit with other entities, which were henceforth called dwarf planets. All other objects orbiting the sun would be known as small solar bodies. Let's see. Yeah, they changed it, basically, because they couldn't find the exact... They're trying to nail down the definition. Let's see. So, yeah, it's not... The simple fact is that Pluto was misclassified when it was first discovered. It was never on the same footing as the other eight worlds. So, hey, Pluto is not a planet. Actually, it never was. It was just a misunderstanding 50 years ago. There you go.
Poor Pluto. So misunderstood.
There's tons of things that would be. If Pluto's a planet, then there's other objects in this solar system. We'd have like 12 different things in this planet, in our solar system that would be planet.
I can tell you one thing. Pluto is cold. And it's also
right.
Mickey Mouse's dog, which I never understood that Mickey Mouse has a dog that acts and barks like a normal dog. But Goofy is also a dog, but speaks to Mickey Mouse. How does that make any sense? Are they two different species?
Well, yeah, he's subservient to Pluto.
Who's subservient to Pluto?
I mean, to Goofy.
So is he like just not as evolved as Goofy?
I assume so.
So in the Disney universe of animation, would Pluto someday evolve to speak, as does Goofy? Or is Goofy a different species altogether?
I think he's been oppressed.
By Mickey.
By Mickey, yes. Okay, all right. Have we made it through this? We're good, right?
I think so.
All right, so we can move on to the actual thing you wanted to talk about. I'm ready. There are 13 planets in this solar system, by the way.
False. 9.
No, there's 13. Okay. There's 8 normal planets and 5 dwarf planets.
I was unaware of the additional dwarf planets. Do they have designations like NCC 1701 or?
No, it was like Makemake and Cris and Eris and can't pronounce the other one, like Humea or something like that.
Who makes those up? All right. On to the topic of discussion, which Tyler from Chicagoland posted this discussion point in our Discord in January of 2024. He said, new Cole Worley quote that I think really resonates with a lot of us heavy Euro gamers. So Tyler considers himself a heavy Euro gamer. And Cole Worley says, and I quote, "I'm not interested in whether or not a game is fun. I think we want something to be compelling. And the things that compel us exist on a wide emotional spectrum." Tyler then asked of our Discord members, "What are your thoughts?" And David and I believe it's Brian Levicoli and some others posted their thoughts as to what they thought. So I was going to ask Jerry, and Tyler specifically says, "I posted it here because it would be an interesting podcast topic." Well, here you go, Tyler. A topic it is. In lieu of game discussion, a topic. Do you play games for fun or for compelling reasons, Jerry?
Well, what was the question?
It's not really a question. It's whether or not you agree with the statement, "I'm not interested in whether or not a game is fun. I think we want something to be compelling. And the things that compel us exist on a wide emotional spectrum." So I'm guessing from my point of view on this quote that he's saying his games don't have to be fun as long as they're compelling on some emotional level.
By definition, if something is compelling, it's like irresistible or like it's overpowering. In fact, it's forceful. That's what it compels you to do something. And so that's typically when you think of something that's compelling, it has your respect. It's something that I'm trying to think of another synonym there. But yeah, I understand what he's getting by that. That the game doesn't necessarily have to be fun. And I think Cole Worley, to use one of his examples of John's Company, I don't think John's Company is a game, and if I had to compare, is it compelling or is it fun? It's going to be more compelling than it is fun. I find it compelling because deep down I enjoy not only the mechanisms in it, and I guess that's the rub, is can you find something that is completely fun, something that has no fun, to be compelling?
Yes.
Yes, well, obviously, in terms of movies, yes. Like, there's tons of movies that aren't fun, but are compelling, like Schindler's List. So, Cole is saying, like, if something is compelling, doesn't necessarily equate to it being fun.
Right.
And so, I'm trying to think, are there any games that I find to be compelling and completely lacking any fun? And I'm having a harder time coming up with that, because typically things that I find to be quote unquote compelling, I find to be fun.
Well, that's
so it's yeah.
Well, Tyler. Okay. So Tyler, I kind of got off a little bit. Tyler said, yeah, it depends on what fun means. Fun and enjoyment are different. There are games that I definitely would classify as not fun that I very much enjoy. And I, at first, okay. So then I replied, I said, but you enjoy the fun game in a way and enjoy the thinkier game in another. I would say enjoyment is involved. Compelling versus fun, I understand, though I think a lot of it is splitting hairs and may not apply to board gaming in general, as board games involve you making decisions, you interacting, whereas books and movies, you're just an observer. Is there a game you find completely compelling you don't enjoy? there has to be an aspect of the game you enjoy for you to go back to it. It can't just be the theme, because there's not a game I play off the top of my head where I say, let's play this, I don't enjoy it, but the theme is so compelling. Which is, and really it is just splitting hairs of definitions of fun and enjoyment. What do you consider can you enjoy something like, a documentary on the Holocaust? It's compelling because it has your attention. And I was looking up the definition there of compelling as well. And what you said is also true. It says you're not able to resist, but the adjective says evoking interest, attention, or admiration in a powerfully irresistible way. So you can admire something. It can gain your attention. Does that mean you're enjoying it on some level? I would have to say yes, now that I'm also double reverse thinking about it, because you're not enjoying it in a pleasurable way. Like this is fun, I'm enjoying this. You're enjoying it in a way that is pleasing to your brain, of either solving some sort of puzzle or gaining some sort of insight and knowledge about something that you appreciate and admire. If that makes any sense.
Can you enjoy work?
Yes.
You can enjoy work and that work not necessarily be fun. And that's not a question. That is a statement.
Well, I'm saying, because if you look up the definitions of both those words, fun and enjoyment are almost interchangeable.
They are not.
Joy, are not. Fun is in the definition of joy usually, or vice versa.
They may be, but the actual specific what you're referring to, if you had to get down to the nitty gritty of it, enjoyment is a feeling. So, like, you might enjoy your work and it may satisfy you. For instance, you may do something that is obviously not fun in connection with your work, such as I do. My job is not fun, but it's immensely, there is a satisfaction that comes from it. So you can enjoy your work. Whereas by definition, fun is something that entertains. So you may find enjoyment, have a feeling about something that satisfies you, such as your work, or I'll use work as the primary example.
Is it possible we're misusing enjoy?
Say what?
Possible we're misusing, if that's a word, misusing the term enjoy? Like, we just tend to use that word, I can enjoy my work without having fun. Because if you look up enjoy, it generally says having a good time.
Well, it's the issue comes from the very broad stroke for which it paints the definition of enjoyment. So when you say having a good time, you naturally think of having fun. But can you be satisfied from your work?
Yeah. Actually, now that I'm looking at another definition, it says to take pleasure or satisfaction in. So
there you go.
Enjoy does incorporate satisfaction.
Yeah. So if something, you can have enjoyment from your work and it not be fun. Like if I go, I think I really enjoy my job, and they go, what do you do? I'm a hospice nurse. They go, oh, what brings you enjoyment about? Well, I'm satisfied with being able to help people in these difficult times. And it brings a great sense of satisfaction because I'm helping somebody through a very difficult time. But if I were to reverse that and say, I have a lot of fun at my job. What do you do? I'm a hospice nurse. It's a lot of fun. It's like, no, that sounds weird. Like, your brain switches and goes, well, wait a minute. That doesn't sound right. I find my job really entertaining. I'm a hospice. Yeah, you see what I mean?
Right.
So you're threading a line. So I think what Cole was trying to say, and I'll just put words in Cole's mouth. I don't know him, but there you go. The point I think he's trying to make is that a game can be compelling. You can respect it, and you can, by definition, enjoy it, such as I do, John's Company. But what I call John's Company fun, if you ask me to really delve down into the definition of the word, no. It's work. It's hard, but there is a lot of enjoyment. And I could rattle off several games for which I think are fun that by definition, they are fun, but they're not particularly satisfying, thus not enjoyable. You see, that kind of has a, maybe I'm going too deep into that definition, but I'll use this comparison, like Chinatown. Not only do I find Chinatown very fun, I find it very enjoyable because it's complicated, there's negotiation, and after it's over, there is a sense of enjoyment, of satisfaction, because I know not only did I have fun playing the game, I was entertained by it, but I also have enjoyment from the fact that I was able to complete what I wanted to. I won by my negotiation. Now, let's look at a simpler game such as Dead Last. Dead Last, where you're just basically, again, just negotiating with random people at a table about who you're going to bump off. That game is incredibly fun. But after it's over, there's not a lot of enjoyment because it's not that satisfying. It was just a crazy social game. And if I had to use this comparison, which is a very good point that was made there on the Discord, games that tend to be lighter, yes, I think tend to be a lot funner. Games that tend to be heavier and have a completion, like something you're building up, I find a lot of satisfaction, thus enjoyment from. The differences between the two is I really don't care if I lose a game that I'm just having fun with. But the more that I enjoy the game and are satisfied by my performance in it, yes, I do get irritated if I perform poorly in that game.
If we want to split hair, if it's just black and white, enjoyment and fun, you could say, well, what you just said. But then you could also say, well, you know, there are, you know, I enjoy the aspect of this heavy game because I find it fun in my own way to solve this puzzle because I enjoy burning my brain. So that's kind of just, you know, a gray area between fun, where the fun starts or stops and enjoyment begins or ends. Because right, the enjoyment, like, again, going to the definitions, compelling, one of the synonyms for compelling is also satisfying, which that's a synonym, not a definition, but still it gives you the same thing. So it's like, I was trying to think, though, it's not fun, like you're just laughing, hee, 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 oh, you know, high on life.
But who laughs at that like that?
I sometimes laugh like that.
Yeah, you do.
In Happy Salmon, especially. There is a level of fun you can get from your enjoyment of this compelling game. So it's like, it's just like this dark line that goes from dark black to white. So you go into the lighter, you get the light. So all these terms are kind of merging into each other, but you can delineate clearly what you said, a heavier barrage or John Company. Those are interesting. They make you work your brain. Am I laughing? No. Am I having a good time? I can. I mean, when you were negotiating in John Company for the various privileges and all that stuff that you can get, you were enjoying yourself. You were having a good time. So that's what I'm saying. There's certain aspects of these games that, while they can be heavy and thinky, can also be enjoyable. So really, what we've said here is not much at all, because all these terms kind of can be used in different ways to explain different things is what I'm kind of getting at. I understand what he's saying. I understand what you're saying. I understand what Nolan was saying. It's like, Christopher Nolan, I don't even know if I finally got to it, or maybe I just told you that before the show. He was asked about Oppenheimer being entertainment. Should this be entertainment, this man developing the nuclear bomb that can cause and caused death and destruction? He's like, well, I think entertainment is a broad spectrum of a word, literally something very similar to what Cole Worley said here. Maybe he was quoting Cole, who knows? But he was saying, I want to make stuff that's engaging to the audience, which is basically the same thing we're discussing. So are we entertained by these games that are engaging and compelling? Yes. We're enjoying them to an extent that they're satisfying to us.
Well, that's not what he was saying, though.
Which one?
like both of them. You said that like he's quoting Cole. Cole wasn't saying that this is a broad spectrum. He was doing exactly the opposite.
Well, he said the compelling games can cover a wide spectrum of emotion. So you're not necessarily playing a game for the fun of it. Maybe you're playing a game for, I don't know what other emotions you would play a game for.
Satisfaction.
Satisfaction is not an emotion, is it? Is satisfaction an emotion?
Do you feel satisfied?
No. I'm assuming there's a broad... Good Lord. Let me look up another definition.
No. It's a simple question. I was asking. No. I was asking, do you ever feel satisfied? Like you eat a bunch of mac and cheese. You feel satisfied.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Correct. So it's more than a feeling.
I feel satisfied.
But I'm fuzzy on Nolan's comment, but the idea of there being a broad spectrum of entertainment, of course there is. There's certain things for which we are entertained by. But I don't really like the term entertainment because, so is entertainment, I'll ask you this, is entertainment a thing? Is it a strongly defined thing that you can put your finger on? Or is entertainment a verb? Is it something that you yourself do? So, for instance,
it can be both, but I would say it's something you do. Like maybe you, for entertainment, sit on a parking bench and watch people go by.
Exactly. That's my point. So, you might be entertained by one thing, but I find it completely boring. So, thus, in my mind, when you say entertainment and you go, oh, like Fast and Furious, and it's like, well, that's nothing I would ever be entertained by. What I am saying is that's something I would never choose, thus be a verb, entertain myself with. Does that make sense? Did I lose you on that?
No, I'm following you.
Okay. So, thus, instead of going, this is entertainment, no, you cannot really say this one thing is entertainment. Rather, can you choose to be entertained by this thing? And that makes the spectrum of it too broad. Rather, it's what do you choose to entertain yourself with? And I think that's what, when we use that term entertainment, that can be applied to so many things. And as that Nolan guy was saying regarding entertainment, yes, many people will go to movies or various other things to be scared, to be frightened, to cry, to feel romantic, to see action. So, yeah, it's a broad spectrum of things. But at the same time, those people are choosing to be entertained by something. And I would argue that when we say that we were entertained by something, we mean that it engaged us in the matter for which we thought it would, that we chose to be entertained with.
Or that we found it compelling.
Well, I would find that you could be compelled by something. Something can be very forcible and you not really find it entertaining.
That's true.
It's like you can respect it. You could watch Oppenheimer and be like, this was compelling. It was a great movie in terms of the structure of it, but you weren't really entertained by it. You didn't really feel the need to ever watch it again. It was compelling. It was moving. It was thought-provoking. But really, was it something that you would say, I had a great time watching Oppenheimer? It was fun? Probably not. And so, my point being is, I think you were making the statement of like, these terms are too broad. And that everybody can just misapply them. I'm saying is that in general, most people do think in these broad terms. But I think it's good to be able to define what these are and to be able to kind of put that out there. Because I think that really makes a big difference in recommendations, in particular in the board game arena. There are tons of games that I would recommend that aren't really that fun. They're more compelling. And then there's other games for which I'll recommend and be like, hey, this is really fun. And it's stupid. Like it's a stupid game. It really does not have a lot of rules and not a lot of thought process, but it's just stupid fun. And you won't be compelled to respect it because it's just a dumb, I mean, like even I'm talking about it disrespectfully. Ah, Taco Cat Goat Cheese Pizza. Oh, it's a stupid little memory game. But yeah, but it's fun. It's fun. And so I think that those terms in the board game arena make a big difference. And I think that a lot of these old timers, I say old timers, but like war gamers and big time Euro gamers, we are more geared towards being compelled than we are having fun. And thus, because of that compelling nature of a game, we'll overlook a lot of things that we would not overlook in a game that's supposed to be fun.
So really, what I had kind of, I misspoke then, and now that we have discussed this and I've looked up these definitions, when I said enjoyment and fun are they are different. I actually said they weren't too different. But from what we've said, compelling can be and probably is enjoyable, good Lord, enjoyable. Because enjoyable does not mean, don't just take out joy. Enjoy means fun. That's why I'm saying there's like correlation between these words. Enjoyment can just mean you feel a sense of satisfaction. So games can provide you enjoyment in that you are satisfied from them without them being fun. And that is our final thought on that, right?
Yeah, that's
so it. So we are Team Cole Worley on this. Is that what we're getting at?
No, Cole, again, you're,
no, you got to pick a side. You've got to pick a side. And if there's not sides to be picked from, you create divisions and then choose sides just to make compelling content.
Oh, we're doing that. All right. Well, I was about to say Cole wasn't causing a division. Cole was just saying that he focuses on as a designer. And good for Cole. That's absolutely what Cole does. A lot of Cole's games are not that fun, but they are very compelling. I don't find Root to be fun. I would admit that it's compelling.
I agree. And that's what I was going to say. Like, it's like what a lot of content creators do. They take something that is not divisive, but then you set aside these terms and sides. And then you choose a side, pick one, and then the discourse.
But we're not doing that.
The discourse comes out of that.
We're not doing that, are we?
No, we are not.
There's no side to pick.
There's no side to pick.
I'm about to say, like, what content creator?
We're not hashtag Team Cole Worley. That's all.
Oh well, I'm not Team Cole Worley. I'm just thinking he made a statement. And that statement is true. That statement's not false.
Correct.
Then it's because it's his statement. I mean, there's nothing to it.
All right. So there's nothing to this discussion we just had.
Absolutely. Absolutely
pointless discussion. Just one giant circle back to where we started.
Well, the world's a flat. Time's a flat circle.
The world is also flat.
I guess I should take this time to report on my update. I didn't tell you this ahead of time, but for instance, all right, I've been looking at things of kind of like a publicist view, you know, like your brand. You have a brand, right? Your brand is kind of like, you know, oh, you're Gobby, ha ha ha, you know, the delightful oaf. You know what I mean? Your brand.
That's
your brand.
Okay.
Like Russell Brand. I'm trying to change my brand, all right? Because, you know, refer to the previous podcast where I had to apologize for stuff I've done. So I have consulted some people, and I guess to try to get people to look at me differently, I need to start being a little bit more personable, I guess. Is that the term I want to use? Yeah, we'll use that term.
Are you going on a PR tour now, like shaking hands and kissing babies?
I am going to PR tour. I am. So every podcast I'm going to bring out what I have been doing that was very good. And loving and kind to make sure people know I'm not a jerk and I've been keeping notes.
Okay.
So this week in what Jerry has been doing to better himself and to be a boon to the
sounds
community.
Sounds like you're going through sheets of paper. You've got lots of notes on your own good deeds.
I have. I wrote them down, but I'm only going to say one. Okay. So this week I took it upon myself.
Wait. Let's make this a segment. I'll think of a jingle, and this is Jerry's thoughts on Jerry being a good person. Go.
Have you ever wondered whether you're a good person or not?
Well, do you think I'm a good person? Deep down.
I am the most humble, generous, nicest, best, and a bunch of other nice words, person in the world.
Yeah, Jerry's getting better. So this week, I played a video game with Enrique and his friends online. So first off, this sounds like this should not be a big deal. But as you well know, I don't particularly enjoy electronic media, and there's nothing else that I hate more than playing some sort of video game online. And I was coerced into playing some sort of, it's like Starship Troopers or some sort of weird, or we were killing bugs on a planet. We were space fascists, I guess. I don't know.
What did the bugs do to you?
They existed, and I think they had oil. Basically, they had oil. They existed on planets that had oil. Anyways, that's not the point. The point is that I spent several hours playing online with Enrique and his incel friends, who probably all live in basements, and I was nice to them. They were making fun of me because whatever neckbeards say.
Hey, wait, fun of see, somebody. You're not. That's not being nice. You're.
No, but I'm not nice right now. But I was nice to them then.
Oh,
okay. So they were talking like, "Why are you bringing?"
So what you're saying is you were being hypocritical at the time and not really feeling what you're saying.
No. I felt it. I just didn't say it. I swallowed it down. I was like, don't say this because you're just going to be mean, Jerry. Don't be mean. That was my, don't be mean, Jerry.
But you wanted to be mean.
I desperately wanted to be mean. Do you know how hard it is not? I'm getting dressed down by a bunch of 25-year-olds living in their mom's basement that work part-time at Taco Bell.
See, you say it all, when you come on here and you say those things, it completely eradicates the good things you did previously because it's not.
No, it doesn't.
You were just doing that for show.
I was nice because I held my tongue. I didn't point out that they're just. No, I held. But I did a good thing.
Change comes from inside, and you're not really feeling it when you come on here and you're saying these neckbeards live with their mom down their basement.
They are neckbearded, and they do live with their mom in their basement. And to be honest, I don't know why they were talking so much trash. My back is hurting from carrying the team because they were not as good as they purported to be. My point being is I am a nice person. I don't care what people on Reddit say. And I will go out of my way to spend time with lesser mortals and play some stupid game so that they can get their war medals or whatever. We can take Clandactu. I don't even know what we were doing. All I know is I had a fun time. It was fun. It wasn't compelling. It was fun. All right. I enjoyed it. Enrique enjoyed it. All of his goofy friends with their weird usernames that I couldn't even pronounce because it's like elite, whatever they are. We had fun. And I was nice, and I did the thing, and yes, it was very irritating. But that's where I'm at in life. I do nice things. It doesn't mean that deep down, I'm not seething with rage. But doesn't
see,
mean
the
that.
The deep
that
down just, is what you're supposed to be working on.
I am getting deep down. I'm just saying.
Okay, well, I guess maybe the process of being nice repeatedly may seep down into the deeper seeds of hatred you have.
I'm being nice. Did I lose my mind on the people at Reddit that were talking trash about me? No. I know. I am very kind. I am a kind. I need people to understand. I am a nice person. Not that I care what you think, but
nothing says it more than you exclaiming it yourself repeatedly.
Yes.
What? Here's what needs to happen is here's what you got to do, Jerry. You got to go and that person you talked to in hospice some time ago, there was a moving experience. You got to get them recorded for the podcast and get them to say, Jerry is a good person, because you saying it yourself just doesn't carry any weight. But we will maintain this segment because we need this segment. So Jerry does good things as reported on by Jerry will continue.
It will continue. And you'll need to make a jingle for this, and not some weird goofy jingle. I mean, an actual jingle, which will have played prior to this, that I'm sure will be awesome, because I trust you as an editor and a host, because that's something a nice person would say, even though if I don't have any trust in you. My point being is that I this has affected me deeply. All right. Really? I'm upset because I feel like some people on the internet that I don't care about think that I am a mean.
You are sometimes.
Yes, I am willing to accept that.
Just say multifaceted.
That what?
You're a multifaceted person.
I am multifaceted.
You have and moments of meanness, rudeness, and terribleness.
But that comes out. There's 24 hours in a day. This podcast is an hour long. Can I not? I mean, prick me. Do I not bleed?
I believe we said that on the last podcast. Okay, you are just, so I'm human. Just saying. I'm only human.
I know, but you maintain your persona throughout the day and on this podcast.
Well, it's not a persona. It's trying to maintain just being a good person. And it is difficult. I understand. There were several people today at work. I like three people in a row were complete and utter jerks to me. Me, the guy on the other end of the phone line, just doing his job. I'm just doing my job. You can't claim that because it's not under the contract. I'm sorry. It's not written down. Or actually, it is written down. You can't do that. I'm just relaying what the contract says back to you because you never read the contract. You were just told by a dealership salesman, oh yeah, this covers everything. You're good. Buy it. And then here comes time to redeem something that you think's on the contract. And I have to tell you, that ain't on the contract. I don't know what you're talking about. That's not covered. And then they get furious at me.
I know, which drives me insane that people don't like me, but they like you when you're the telemarketer person that everybody universally hates.
I am not a telemarketer.
Whatever you do. I don't even know. I don't even pay attention to what you're talking
about. Claims representative. When you have an issue, who cares? You call me. And I tell you that is or is not covered by the contract that you purchased.
My point is, number one, you're a pushover and you would never be mean to anybody on the phone anyways to a random stranger, right?
Well, no, I have to maintain self-control because I do get So here's the thing. There is a moment with me on the phone. I'm trying to help. I honestly try to help people. I want to help you. When these customers call in, I am truly wanting to help you, and I hope this works out for the both of us, because I don't like getting yelled at. But as soon as you start acting like a jerk, I'm done. I'm done trying to be nice. I will simply answer in a quick, efficient manner. My feelings of compassion have gone out the door for you because your feelings of compassion never existed because you're treating me like a jerk. So as soon as that switch flips, I go from Gobby the nice guy to Gobby the emotionally wrecked because I'm now sad and upset and kind of angry all at the same time with this individual I do not know. And I shouldn't let it affect me. And every one of my fellow representatives and my bosses say, don't let it bother you. They're not mad at you. They're mad at the company. They're mad at the contract. They're not mad at you. It's not personal.
They might be mad at you.
They may or may not be mad at me, but more than likely, they're just mad at themselves for these salesmen at the dealerships.
I'm not trying to rag on you. I'm just saying.
My point was, I initially start out trying to be helpful to most everyone. And then when you act a certain way, it can then trigger my emotions into a different, less helpful, and, you know, like, as you like said, angry or upset or enraged. But I try to control those, as you did with these people that you say live in the basement with their mothers and also have beards around their necks. But I don't.
Beards
I don't,
are meant to accentuate your jawline.
But I don't start off that way. And I feel like sometimes you just start off with this initial reaction to these things.
Well, no. No, I will admit that perhaps my tolerance level isn't that great. I'm saying, you know, like it maybe I am a little bit quick on the trigger. But just saying is that I have a who's to say? It's relative what your tolerance level should be. Who's to say what you should tolerate? I mean, really, is there a blanket understanding of how much we should tolerate? No. The answer to that is no. So, I mean, it's just how it is. Sometimes I get a little excited. It's just how it is. And I'm doing better, and we will continue
this. The thing is to keep in mind is not to say this is just how I am.
I don't. Well, no, it is how I am, but I'm also pointing out I'm changing.
There you go.
I'm making a lot of changes. I've been changing. Unlike some people who never change, they just stay in their mom's basements for years playing video games. Like, they don't go out, they have no 401k, they have no insurance. But yet I'm the idiot. I'm the idiot because I don't know what stratagem to bring.
It's like you're making fresh sand prints in the sand for yourself, at the same time erasing them as you're walking.
I have no idea what that means. Is that something that you, that's probably some weird thing you put off of?
No, you're forging a new path for yourself, but you're also erasing all that you've done because of what you say afterwards. It's like, I'm changing, I'm a good person, but then you say something that kind of just, you know, erases all the good you did.
Change is a process.
Okay.
It's a verb.
You're correct.
It's a thing. Okay. I am.
It's
I know.
It's not something overnight. We're not going to get jolly, happy, positive Jerry, and nor should we, because that's not a realistic view in the world in which we live, because the world in which we live is horrendous.
Indeed. So, anyways, that's enough. That's enough for me. We'll be back on later, some other time in the future. I don't know when. If you would like to play with me and Enrique some space trooper fascism thing and kill bugs, I don't know. You'll have to ask our Lord incel operator if you can join the squad, and maybe you can.
Is that Enrique?
If you would like, no, just send us an email. boardgamesnobs@gmail.com.
Oh, yeah. We haven't asked for emails in quite some time, and we could use
some
emails.
I ask all the time, because I'm always wanting to hear what other people think.
Send us your emails.
I'm always interested in what other people think.
Thoughts on this
episode.
You're
the one that doesn't care what other people think. I love people.
There you go. Attacking me. Also,
people.
You should not belittle others to make yourself look good. That's bullying.
I'm not belittling you. You are not little. I am not belittling you. See? This is not. See what you've done.
You don't even know how.
I've done a fine job so far. It's fine.
Just
this part out.
That's gonna. Yeah, that was good. I mean, it was. It made. I don't know about good. Was it compelling? Let's hope so.
I'm compelled.
All right.
This is an hour.
Power,
let's cut this.
The power of Jerry compels me to end this podcast, and now I shall do that. Thank you for listening. Until next time, rate and review us on Apple iTunes, on Spotify. Send us questions. Answer the question and answer on Spotify, which we got one from Evan of Hughes in Lancashire, Yorkshire fame. And then let's see. Yeah, emails. We need emails. Your thoughts on our thoughts.
Is that Evan, like Dan's Evan?
Evan Hughes, correct.
Oh.
He was talking What'd about my Lancashire, Yorkshire accent that was on the Brass Birmingham classic throwback episode. All right, that's it. I've done said the goodbyes. I'm Gobby. Bye-bye.
Peace out.
Thank you for tolerating this episode of the Board Game Snobs. Stay classy.
We'll be right back.